Okay, today we're going to do John chapter 6. Now, what's been going on in the book of John is Jesus has come, and he's come to be a light to the world, John said. He came, he was the Word that made all things, and he's come, you know, everyone was in darkness, and he's come to bring light. He's come to be the Word, a message that was proclaimed that John the Baptist bore witness to. And so what has happened is that everyone was in darkness, and in being in darkness, the Jews were looking for something to come. They were looking for something to be revealed. And they were told in the Old Testament that light was going to come, that there was going to a light that was going to shine out in the darkness. They were told that there was a word from God that was coming, that there was a prophet that was coming. And they were told that he was going to restore all things, that he was going to bring them deliverance, going to bring them salvation, that he was going to bring this glorious kingdom in. And so they were looking for it, but they were looking for a physical kingdom. And they were not prepared for a spiritual kingdom. And they weren't looking for it as a spiritual kingdom. They were forgetting that it was also the kingdom of God, and so God is a spirit. It's ultimately a spiritual kingdom. But they were looking at it purely in physical terms. And so they were glad to see miracles. They were glad to see, they wanted to see signs and wonders. They wanted to see all these things happen, but they were not willing to understand that they needed to also, what they really needed to do was to hear the word of God and then take action on it. They were just looking to see things and believe on him as the Christ when he did the things that they wanted the Christ to do in the physical terms. But they were forgetting that they needed to hear the word of God and respond to it, and they weren't willing to do that. Last time in chapter 5, we saw Jesus go back up to Jerusalem, and he had a run-in with the Jews, and what he ended up telling them there at the end of John 5 was essentially that the reason that they wouldn't hear his word is because they simply didn't want to hear the word of God, period. He said that the Jews, they really actually didn't keep God's word. They didn't love God, they only loved men, and they kept man's word. And so they had all these traditions that they would keep, but they didn't actually care about what the word of God said. Because if they did, then they would have looked in the word of God, and they would have seen that he was the Christ. They wouldn't have been asking for a sign, they would have known just based on what they heard him speak. When they looked in the scriptures and heard the scriptures, they would see that those match up and that this is the Christ. They wouldn't have had to see anything, they could have just heard and believed. And that's what was needed, again, because it's a spiritual kingdom. They need to hear, and the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, do a work in them. But since they weren't willing to hear, because they didn't want to hear the Word of God, because they didn't love God, therefore they couldn't receive that work, and therefore they could not receive the kingdom. So they were looking for a kingdom only to fulfill their physical desires. They weren't looking to fulfill their spiritual needs. They weren't willing to recognize that they had a spiritual need that needed to be filled, that they needed the Word of God to come and enlighten them spiritually. They were only looking for their physical needs to be filled, to have a kingdom come in where they'd no longer be oppressed, where they'd no longer have sickness, where they'd no longer be under the curse, where they would have everything that physically you could possibly want, but they weren't willing to recognize that in order to be worthy of that, in order to be able to come into God's Spirit, a kingdom designed after the Spirit of God, then they need to be renewed after the Spirit of God, and they weren't willing to have that happen. They weren't looking at it as being anything they needed spiritually, their spiritual needs fulfilled, only their physical desires. And so what Jesus concluded there at the end of chapter 5, he simply told them right out in so many words that basically they could not believe on him. What he was offering, the kingdom of God, was incompatible with them because it was incompatible with their flesh, and they were not willing to be renewed and born again, as he told Nicodemus, after the Spirit. They do not love God, they love men, and so they will not come into the kingdom of God. What they really wanted was a kingdom of men, after what the men wanted, not after what God wanted. And so we saw Jesus, he went up there to Jerusalem, and on the way he healed that man that was laying there, and that's what made the Jews all upset, because he did it on the Sabbath day, and they were interested in keeping the traditions of men, and so they were upset at him, but they weren't willing to hear the word of God. So now, what we're going to see is Jesus is going to, again, leave Jerusalem, because at the end of what he told them they weren't keeping the law of Moses, that they didn't want to even hear Moses. They wouldn't hear his words, and that's very, very offensive to them. They wanted to kill him already anyway, but certainly after he said that, they wanted to kill him all over again. So He flees out of there in John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. So he not only leaves the area of Judea, goes back up into Galilee, but he actually crosses over the Sea of Galilee to get far, far away over onto the east side of the Sea of Galilee. So he had gone up for the feast, but now he has left. And more time has gone by here, and I don't know how long, but probably a few months have gone by. He's left there, he's gone up into Galilee, and he's now gone way over onto the east side to get way far away from these people that simply will not receive the kingdom, will not hear the word of God. And so that region over there on the east side of Galilee is a region that's predominantly non-Jewish. It's the region of Iturea in Decapolis. And so this is mostly non-Jewish people who live over in that area, but over just on the other side of the sea is mostly wilderness anyway. Verse 2. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. So he's trying to get far away from the Jewish leaders, but he's still being surrounded by all these people who think exactly like them. It says that they followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. So they're interested in physical healing, but not because they think that he has a word that can heal them spiritually, which is what they really need. So he's gotten away from the Jewish leaders, but he still hasn't gotten away from the Jews. They followed him out here into the wilderness. Verse 3. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So down there around the sea, of course, it's a very low-lying area, and there's different mountains around it. So he can go up into the mountains, and he can sit up there, and everyone will be able to still see him and hear him, and he won't be thronged by all the people. Verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So it's now, it's been several months, and it's now actually been the time that John has recorded here. We've gone through about the first year of Jesus' ministry. If you remember, when Jesus first went up to Jerusalem, that was at the Feast of the Passover, soon after he had assembled his disciples, and after John the Baptist had declared that he was the Lamb of God. So this is another Passover, the next Passover has come around, so it's been almost a year since his ministry began. And it's kind of interesting because here he is, he's been a year in this ministry, and things are still kind of not going anywhere fast. Things are kind of in limbo. Nothing's really happening here. The Jewish leaders, they won't accept him, and the multitudes want to follow him, but they're only willing to believe in miracles, and he's only found a few people here and there that are actually willing to hear the word and believe and look for and receive the spiritual renewal that they need. So it's kind of interesting to see how little is going on there with his ministry. It's not really seeming to be bearing a whole lot of fruit. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? So Jesus is there sitting up on top of the mountain, and he can see, you know, far away all these people that are coming. And so he asks Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? So they're out here in the wilderness on the other side of the sea, and they're saying, you know, I mean, here's all these people coming, how are we gonna feed them? And now, that wouldn't seem to me like that'd be their responsibility. I mean, if all these people are coming, shouldn't they have brought their own food with them? I mean, you know, why should Jesus have to feed them? I mean, you know, that should be their own responsibility. I mean, that's not what they're coming to him for, is it? I mean, they're not coming to eat food. I mean, they're coming to hear what he has to say. They're coming to hear his teaching and everything, right? Well, no, actually, that is why they're coming. They're coming to get their bodily needs fulfilled. They're coming to be healed of physical diseases and things like that. They didn't come to hear the word. They came because they saw the miracles that he did, and then they were diseased, it said. And so that's why they were coming, and so Jesus decided that what he's going to do is do exactly what they want. He's going to fill their bodily needs. They came to him to get their bodily needs filled, so what he's going to do is he's going to feed all of them. Verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So Jesus already planned that he's going to feed all this multitude, but he asked Philip what his suggestion is, just to see what he says. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So Jesus asked him where they're going to get enough, where they're going to buy enough food, enough bread to be able to feed all these people. And Philip says, "Well, that would take a whole lot of money, 200 pennyworth. That's probably around 8 months' salary, $25,000." So he says, "Well, I mean, if I had $25,000, yeah, I could go and I could get enough, and they still wouldn't all be able to even eat a little bit of it." So Philip says, "Well, that's impossible." And I guess Philip failed the test. Jesus was testing him, see what he was going to say, and his response is this. Now, remember before how Jesus spoke of a meat to eat that he had, that they knew not of. When he was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and his disciples brought him food, and he said, I have a meat to eat that ye know not of. And what he said was that his meat was to do the will of God, the will of his Father, the will of him that sent him, and to finish his work. So he compared food, he compared meat to the will of God. And he compared eating to doing his will. And so I think that what he was trying to do here in testing Philip, I think he was seeing if Philip had caught on to things, if Philip would say, well, what they really need is spiritual meat. I mean, you fill their bellies, that's not going to do them any good. What they really need to do is hear the word. That's what they really need. But apparently even Jesus' disciples, they didn't fully understand this until after his resurrection. And so Philip didn't really pass the test there. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So Philip just sees an impossible problem here, and Andrew takes stock of what they have, but he says, well, that's nothing. There's no way we can feed all these people. Verse 10. And Jesus said, well, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. And you know, you can see here the pattern of how the word of God is distributed. You know, Christ gave to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. Christ spoke to his disciples, and then they put it down for us, like, for example, John here in the book of John, and so that we can eat of that spiritual meat. Verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So not only did everybody get to eat, but everybody got so full that they couldn't eat another bite, and so they had to send some back, and they gathered it all up. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So they were convinced that this was the prophet that Moses spoke about. Remember, we looked at that prophecy. He said that there was a prophet that was going to come, that God was going to send them, like him. And Moses said that every man that must hear that prophet, every man needs to hear that prophet. He said everyone that doesn't hear the word that prophet speaks will be cut off from among his people. So naturally, their response and understanding that this is the prophet is for them to ask for him to declare them the message of God that they need to hear, because if they don't hear it, then they won't be saved. So they know that this is the prophet, so they're going to ask him to declare them that message so that they can hear and be saved, right? No. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So their response is that they want to make him a king. They aren't interested in him fulfilling his role as a prophet, speaking the word of God. That's what they said he was. But that's not what they want. They don't want him to speak the word of God to them. What they want him to be is a king watching out for the welfare of his people. Because they know, well, okay, if we make him king, then no one will ever be sick and we'll never have to work again because we can have free food. So he'd be a great king. I mean, his people, you know, would have a wonderful time. So that's what they're interested in. They're not interested in hearing the word of God. They don't want to come and hear him and do his will and do the will of God. Hear the will of God so that they can do it and be saved. They just want to take him by force to do their own will with him. They're only interested in fulfilling their own will, their own physical needs, not interested in fulfilling the will of God. So he flees up into the mountain. Verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. So the disciples go to cross back over the sea, back to the northwest side. And they'll meet back up with Jesus later after things die down. And so, verse 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. So a storm comes up, and that's kind of rough for all those people that were still out there in the wilderness. I guess some of them maybe went to some town in the area or something to try to find shelter, but, you know. So and there the disciples are. They're out in the sea trying to row across to the other side. And said they'd gone about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs, and a furlong is an eighth of a mile, so that would be about 3 or 4 miles out there into the sea. And they see something, you know, as they're rowing, coming out over the sea, and it's getting closer. And as it gets closer, eventually they can tell this is a man that's walking, someone is walking on the sea, and he's coming toward the ship. And that that kind of is a scary event for them. Verse 20, "But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." So once they realize that it's Jesus and not a ghost or something, they're glad to have him come up and join them. And it says that they were at the place where they were going. So here, all this time, they've been trying to row against the storm, and that's been tough for them, and it was good for Jesus because he didn't have to walk as far. But for them, it made a lot more work to try to get out there against the storm. But in the end, it worked out because they didn't have to finish rowing the rest of the way. They just were, when he got into the ship, then they were at the place where they were going. Verse 22. "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus." So they stayed out there all night through the storm, waiting for Jesus, but he wasn't there, they couldn't find him anywhere. And there weren't any other ships that he could have followed the disciples in. There were some that went by in the night, but I'm sure they couldn't come by the shore during the storm. So the people figured that wherever Jesus' disciples were, couldn't find where he was, but wherever his disciples were, he'd probably show up, you know, there sooner or later. So they went back over the sea to the northeast side to Capernaum also. Verse 25. "And when they'd found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" So Jesus tried to shake him off his trail, but they found him anyhow. And they want to know how he got there. Verse 26. "Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." But Jesus, he just cuts right to the chase. He tells them that they seek him not because of the miracles that they saw. Not because they think he's the prophet. So then, like, they've seen his works, they should also hear his words if they think he's the prophet. But that's not why they're following him. It's not because they've seen miracles and are convinced he's the prophet and they want to hear what he has to say, but rather because of the result of the miracles. Not because of the miracles, but because they ate of the loaves and were filled, because he filled their bellies. They're not following him to get their spiritual needs filled, in other words. They're just following him because he filled their physical needs. Verse 27. "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." But they shouldn't be laboring for physical food, but for spiritual food. If this is the prophet, I mean, how foolish. Not food that just extends this earthly life, but food that gives them eternal life. That's the food that they should be laboring for. And he says that he's the same one who can give that to them. Just as he told the woman at the well that he would give her a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life, he said that he can give them the food that brings eternal life. He said, "For him hath God the Father sealed." And to seal something, we talked about that before. John the Baptist talked about him being sealed. And you seal something when you write a scroll or something, you seal it. So him being sealed, that means that he's the Word of God. God has given his Word and he's sealed him. Remember how John said that he that hath received him has set to his seal that God is true. So here it says that God is the one who sealed him. It's not man that sealed him. It's not by man's authority, but God's authority. And so God has given him the seal of authenticity. God has given him a word, and he's sealed it to him. And that also means that nobody else can declare it because it's sealed. It's sealed to him. He's the only one who has it, and he's the one who's been sent to declare it, and God's put his seal on it so that it's authentic. And so they need to hear that. They need to receive that meat, that food, and that will give them everlasting life. Just as physical food is necessary for the life of our flesh, so the spiritual food is necessary for them to receive eternal life through the Spirit of God. That's what they need to receive from him. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now, at first that doesn't seem like such a bad response. I mean, at least they're asking him now. They seem to be more interested now, but he just has said that he has something that they need, but what they're interested in is not the work of God of hearing the word. What they're interested in is works like, well, you know, multiplying loaves so that they can eat and be filled. How can they do that? Just like he's done it. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So Jesus makes it absolutely clear. The work of God that they're called upon to do is not really a work at all. It's just to believe. Not the kind of physical work that they're thinking about. It's a spiritual work. It's a work that they need to hear the word and believe it, and then God's going to do the work. They just need to believe on the one whom he has sent, the word that he has sealed to them. Verse 30, They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? So now they want a sign. They said, Well, okay, if it's to believe, well then give us a sign so we can believe. Now, here he has just fed, 15,000-20,000 people with 5 loaves of bread, and disappeared in one part of the world and appeared in another, and they don't even know how he got there, and they say, Well, now we want a sign. They want some more bread, of course. They're hungry again. You know, it's been 24 hours, so I mean, you know, time for the next meal. Verse 31, Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they said, Well, this time, you know what, let's see a sign from heaven. Yeah, this time, let's make the bread come down to heaven, then we'll think about it. You know, after our bellies are full, then we'll consider that. Maybe we will believe on you, if you can show us a sign from heaven. Verse 32, Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So Jesus said, That bread didn't really come from heaven. It fell from the sky, yeah, but it didn't come from before the throne of God. It wasn't God that made that bread that sent it down to you. It didn't give your Father's eternal life. But now the true bread from heaven is being given by the Father. The true bread from heaven has come directly from God. So once again, he claims to be the Son of God here. The true bread from heaven. Verse 33, For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So Jesus says that he is the bread of God, the true bread from heaven, who, as he just said, will give life unto the world. He'll give them eternal life. Verse 34, Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. So these people are still stuck on food. They are so infatuated with eating. I think they must have all been way overweight. I don't know, but these people that just have bread on the brain. They think that what Jesus is saying is that he is the heavenly bread machine who just came down to feed everybody. Verse 35, And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But he says, no, he's not the bread maker, he's the bread. Those that come to him will never hunger or thirst, just as he told the woman at the well. She'd never thirst because there'd be a well of water within her springing up into everlasting life. Same thing he's talking about here. Verse 36, But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So he said, Look, I told you that you saw the miracles, but that's not why you seek me. You're here, but you're not truly coming to me. You believe not, so the bread is not going to be for you. You're not going to receive the bread and water that I'm offering. You're not interested in believing my word, just getting your belly filled. You won't believe, so the bread isn't for you. Verse 37, And the Father, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So he's not going to cast out anybody that comes to him, but they're not truly coming to him. They're not truly believing. They aren't coming to the Son of God, the Word of God, to hear and be saved. They're coming to God's bread maker. But those that the Father has given him will come to him. They'll come to him as the Christ, as the Son of God, as the Word of God to be heard and believed. And he won't cast out those that truly come to him. But they're naturally coming to them, and he's telling them, you need to hear and believe what you're saying now. You're not going to receive the true bread because you're not actually believing. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So he doesn't make a judgment call on who to accept. He takes all that the Father sends him. He came not to do his own will, but his Father's. So all that come to him as the Son, he takes. He doesn't reject anybody, but they're not coming to him. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So again, just as Jesus told the Jews in chapter 5, he tells them that the Father has put him in charge of the resurrection. All those that come to him will ultimately be raised up at the last day. He's not going to lose any of them. That's the Father's will, that all that he gives him will have eternal life. And so Jesus is going to fulfill that will. He is going to give them eternal life, but they have to come to him. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So not just seeth, but believeth on him. They've seen him. He's manifested himself through miracles, but they don't truly believe on him. They've seen the miracles, and they aren't even interested in believing the miracles. All they're interested in is food. But those that do believe on the miracles, those that do believe on him, that they will receive everlasting life. And he'll raise them up in the end. So as he told them, don't labor for the meat that's going to perish. Those that eat of that food, that doesn't mean they're going to have eternal life. Only those that believe after they've seen him will have eternal life. So here is eternal life being offered, and they're just interested in a few free meals. How foolish can you be? Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. So now they're perplexed and they're murmuring to one another because he said that he came down from heaven. Here they've just asked for a sign from heaven. They want him to do these miracles. They've seen these things that he's done. And he says, well, I actually am the sign. You wanted bread come down from heaven. Here I am. I came down from heaven. And so now they've seen him. They've seen the miracles. And yet they asked for a sign, and yet they won't believe it. Once again, the Jews asked for a sign. And when he gives them a sign, they don't want to believe it. When he says, I am the sign, they won't receive it. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They say, well, we know who his parents are. So how can he say that he came down from heaven? So they're not willing to believe his witness. They're only willing to believe what they see. They're not willing to believe what they hear. Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. So he says, look, I'm not telling you to try to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. I've just said you can't come to me, that's all. So don't try. You're not going to figure it out, because you haven't been drawn into me of my Father. I know, because you won't believe on me. And those that are drawn of my Father, they will believe, and I'll raise them up at the last day, but you're not. And so don't even try, because you can't come to me, because you can't believe, because you refuse to do so. You're laboring for the wrong kind of meat, and you're going to keep doing that, so don't try to figure out what I'm telling you. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So as he told the Jews, the scriptures are what testifies of him. And so those that hear, that are taught of God, those that have learned of the Father, that have learned of the Scriptures, they will come to him. They'll see that he is the Christ. But those that refuse to hear, that aren't interested in hearing the Word, that haven't heard the Old Testament, that haven't heard the prophets, that will only see, well, they won't come to him. And so these people are people who will not hear. They won't hear him, and they wouldn't hear the Old Testament, and they won't truly come to him. They're only interested in their physical needs being met. They're not interested in hearing and believing the Word. Verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Because nobody has learned of the Father through seeing. He said they've learned of the Father. But they haven't learned of the Father through seeing. So if you're only willing to learn through seeing, then you're not going to come to him, because you won't have learned of the Father. The only way to learn from him is through hearing the Word, through hearing the Word of God, the Scriptures, the prophets. Nobody's seen the Father except the one which came down from heaven. So if they're only willing to believe what they see, then they're not going to believe on him, because they will have to have learned of the Father and through the Old Testament, and the only way to do that is through hearing, the same way that they need to learn from him. But those that have learned of God, those that have heard, they'll also hear him. But those that just want to see, they can't have learned, and so they will not hear. They're not here now either. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So he says he's sure that they won't come to him and believe on him. But he declares the truth to them anyhow, just to prove it to them. And so he says it again, those that believe on him have everlasting life. Those that eat physical bread die. Doesn't matter where it supposedly came from, it can fall down from heaven, but if you eat it, it's not going to save your life. You're still going to die. It's not going to give you eternal life. But those that believe on him, eat him as the bread, those that believe on him, they will not die. But they won't. They'll only eat the physical bread, so they will. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So Jesus told Nicodemus, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Just as they looked on a serpent in the wilderness to be saved from the serpents, we'd believe on death to be saved from death. And so, since it's the death of Christ that we believe on, then by analogy, his flesh is as the bread that we eat. So Jesus is comparing it to bread because it's his flesh. It's his flesh that was sacrificed for us. And so that's what we believe on. We believe on that sacrifice of his flesh, and that is how we are saved. But they're not willing to believe. They're not willing to consume what God is giving them, the spiritual meat. They're only willing to consume physical meat. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So now they're even more confused. They're so infatuated with eating something that they can't see that he's speaking figuratively. I mean, how foolish can you be? How stupid can you be to not understand that Jesus is speaking figuratively, to think that he's talking about, oh yeah, you have to come and take a bite out of me to be able to be saved. They are that infatuated with eating and their physical needs and physical desires that even when he lays it out so plain, they can't see that he's speaking of a spiritual need that they need to have fulfilled. He told them, believe, 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 and what they're still interested in eating something. So here's Jesus' reply to that. Now everything that Jesus is about to say here in these next verses is intentionally to keep confusing and offending them. There's no way for them to believe. He's just told them that. They are so confused and messed up that there's just not possible for them to ever believe. So he's just told them that, and so rather than try to explain further, now he's just ready to get rid of them. He's been trying to get rid of them, and now he's found a way to do it. He's going to offend them and confuse them so bad that they're just not going to want to hear another word he has to say. They're going to leave and think he's nuts. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So Jesus has carefully established an analogy here based on what they said about their fathers in the wilderness. They said that their fathers had manna in the wilderness, and he said, well, by analogy, I am the bread which came down from heaven. If you want a bread that came down from heaven, to believe on me, and then you will be saved, just as your fathers ate bread in the wilderness. And yet they're so fleshly minded that they refuse to understand it. They refuse to look at it in anything other than literal. And so to thoroughly appall and offend them, he lays it on as thick as he can, keeps talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But his point is simply this. Those that believe on him dwell in him and he in them, he says. They live by him just as he lives by the Father. In other words, they become joined together in one, so that they all share the same basis of life. As he told Nicodemus, that's the Spirit of God, the water of life that he talked about before, that comes into them and you get born again and you have a new basis of life. You're born after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But of course, they don't understand that because they're only interested in the needs and pleasures of this life. They're only interested in the flesh, in the physical. They're not interested in the spiritual. So they're only willing to look at it from the physical and literal perspective. They're not willing to look at it from the spiritual perspective. Verse 59, these things said he in the synagogues he taught in Capernaum. And that is where that man's son was that was dying and was healed. Was there in Capernaum. And so there should have been some people there that believed, but of course they weren't willing to believe what they heard, only what they saw. And because Jesus didn't come and heal him, I guess probably most of them didn't believe on him. Verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And so even many of his disciples did not comprehend what he was saying. They didn't comprehend that he was speaking spiritually and not literally. Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." So he says, is this offending you? Why? Are you offended because I said I came down from heaven? That's why the Jews were really offended. That's the real reason. He says, but you're not offended by that, are you? I mean, what if I told you that I'm going to send back up and you're going to see it? I don't think that's what's offending you. Or are you offended because you don't understand what I said? Did you take it literally? Don't be silly. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Eating my flesh won't do you any good. You already have a body of flesh. It won't do you any more good than eating manna like your fathers did in the wilderness. They still died. Eating my flesh, you would still die. What you need is the spirit. You need a new quickening that brings a fundamentally different basis of life, not after the flesh. Eternal life's got to come from the Spirit of God. And that's what I'm talking about. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You need to have not flesh come into you, you need to have the Spirit come into you and give you new life, eternal life from the Father. And that's what I came down to earth to bring to you. Verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. So he said, I know there are also some of you who don't believe. Some of you are just confused, but others of you can't understand simply because you don't believe. You're really in the same boat with these other people. Verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. So he said, I told you that you can only come to me if you've learned of the Father. And now you can see why. Because otherwise you'll be offended and you won't be able to understand my word. You need to be thinking spiritually. Because what I'm teaching is incompatible with the fleshly mind. You need to be thinking spiritually. You need to have learned from the Father. You need to be used to hearing the word of God. And so those that have heard and learned of the Father, they will come to me. Because they understand their spiritual needs and that I'm here to fulfill them. But those that have not heard and learned of the Father, they will not hear and learn of me. Instead, they'll be confused and offended. Verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So many of them were offended, and they left. So he finally got rid of these crazy people. But that's not a problem that people got offended and left, because that just means that they didn't believe. Jesus said those that his Father had given him would come to him, and he wouldn't cast them out. He'd lose nothing. So these people aren't being cast out. He's not casting out people that would believe. He's casting out people who refuse to believe. So it's okay that he offended them. Because these people don't want to walk after the Spirit of God. They want to walk after the flesh, and so they leave and do so. As Jesus told Nicodemus, they love darkness rather than light. They want to stay in darkness. They want to stay in the flesh. They're not looking for a renewing from the Spirit of God. They want to keep things as they are. And so that's John 6:66. Because that's going to be how the Antichrist is. He and those that follow him will be fleshly, and they will leave the teachings of Christ. They're going to fall away and walk no more with him, and instead pursue the desires of the flesh. And so that's why that is the 66th verse of the 6th chapter of John. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? So many of the different people that were following him have left, and so he asked them, are they going to leave too? Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But as Jesus said, those that come to him, he'll not cast out. They have understood. They've understood one thing. He has the words of eternal life. He has the word, and in the word is life, and the life is the light of men. Everything else is darkness. Where are they going to go? They're going to stay with him, because he has the words of eternal life. They understand the need for eternal life through the word, and so they're not going to leave. They do believe in truth. They have truly come to him. verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Why? Because of the word. Because he has the words of eternal life. Look at the way he said that. He said, we believe that thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not the other way around. They don't believe he has the words of eternal life because they think he's the Christ. They think he's the Christ because they know that he has the words of eternal life. And so the message, ultimately, the message that he has, the words that he has spoken, is ultimately what has convinced them that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's hearing the word and believing that has brought them there. The other people said that they believed he was the prophet because of what they saw. But they weren't willing to go from that to believing that he had the words of eternal life. The disciples believed the words of eternal life, and because of that, believed that he was the prophet, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" So Jesus says, well, speak for yourself, Simon. Don't speak for everybody. Don't include you all in that, because not all of you believe. He said, we believe and are sure, but one of you doesn't believe and isn't sure. Verse 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So again, Jesus knew who should betray him. He knew who was believing and who was not. And so he saw that there was all these people that weren't willing to believe. He knew they weren't willing to believe because they weren't interested in hearing the word. They weren't interested in a spiritual renewal. They were only interested in the physical concerns. And so he offended them. He said, those that come to me I'll not cast out, but they weren't truly coming to him. They were just getting in his way. And so he did cast them out. And so we continue to see in John the contrast between people who are willing to believe on miracles, people who are looking for believing after the flesh on miracles, who are looking for a fleshly renewal, who are looking for fleshly cleanliness, who are looking for a physical renewal, but aren't willing to believe in a spiritual renewal. And we're seeing getting more and more of an understanding of why it's so different believing on miracles versus believing on the word. Why it's so important that they come to him through the word, why they needed that, because we've seen how it's a belief on the miracles does come from their flesh. They were only interested in getting their fleshly desires fulfilled. But ultimately, the work of God is something that involves the Spirit. And so if they're not willing to believe after the Spirit, if they're not willing to believe with their heart, if they're not looking for a spiritual renewal, if they're only looking for fulfilling the desires of their flesh and not their spiritual needs, then their belief is qualitatively different than what is necessary in order for them to be saved. They need to be believing that Christ is going to fulfill their spiritual needs, not just their physical. And those who believed in miracles were only believing in physical needs being fulfilled, and in many cases, therefore, were only believing because of a desire to have physical needs fulfilled, not because of a desire to have spiritual needs fulfilled. But those that did see their need, their spiritual needs, those that had been taught of God, those that had heard the word of God by the prophets, had heard that word and understood their need, their spiritual need. We're looking for a spiritual renewal. We're looking for something more than simply a physical kingdom. They would believe. They would believe not just what they saw Jesus do, they would believe his word. And so they could believe and receive the word, receive the life, and be saved. So we continue to see that contrast in the rest of the book of John.